One of the most serious problems of this day is the problem of the eye. It's so serious, the mountains of good that you do, but on account of the misuse of the eyes, the splendor of the good is all washed away. See, the good that you do, it's got some splendor, some beauty. And the misuse of the eye destroys all that splendor. Imagine now, you have a wife, she went to an accident, and all the beauty is gone, finished. So you have that action, but on account of the misuse of the eye, all is washed away. Then this misuse is at every level. At the level of a person that's coming of age, teenage, then youth, then adult, then old as well. Nobody can say that I'm exempt from this. No matter how pious and how controlled you are, but you can't say that you are. And you are exempt from this rule. It comes and affects everybody. Then the wrong is also perpetrated at different levels. Allama Shami Ramta says, one is just the eye. So one person is such that he takes the satisfaction just by looking, just by glancing. And he feels to himself that I'm not wrong. I just innocently looked. Now, the first wrong, this is where it starts off, primary level. And it is man's habit, or it's part of his nature, he wants to look at the wrong. So you want to look at the areas that you're not supposed to be looking. Sometimes it's generally it is for women, but even for youth, someone is handsome looking and young, and you want to look at the areas that you're not supposed to be looking. If someone is wearing a lungi now and looking down and eager to see something. So first I tell the youngsters, right, all mustn't wear lungis. You know how to look after yourself, then you wear the thing. Otherwise, you're sitting with your legs raised up like this, and people are looking, they're watching what's going on. They're not telling you what's going on. So learn how to use it, and then wear it. So some persons get the satisfaction just by looking. Right? And they will go through it, how they'll go through it. Sometimes watching, sometimes engaging with that person. Now, you don't need to engage, you don't need to talk to him. But now, if you don't talk to him, then how are you going to get the satisfaction? So you engage him. In the meanwhile, stealthily you are taking something, sensual pleasure. So the nafs is doing its work. Now, a little bit of pleasure, but all the good actions that you've been doing, all is demolished. One youngster is in the throes of death, right? And they are prompting him to recite the kalima. He can't recite the kalima. They speak about other things, he's responding, he's talking. But when you talk about the kalima, then he's not responding, he can't talk. So they asked him, by, you know, talk about other things and you're responding, you're talking, but when you talk about the kalima, then you're not responding. You can't respond. Why? He says, I want to recite the kalima, but I can't just recite the kalima. He says, when I was much younger, then a young, beautiful girl came to buy some cloth from me. And I had no intention to sell it because I didn't have the product that she wanted. But just to prolong her standing at the shop, you know, I started taking her one cloth, showing her one second, admiring her talk and her looks. And now that has become a barrier between me and the recitation of the kalima. His eyes. So nobody should feel, you know, I am beyond this, and I can't be a victim of this. Sometimes it's a man, and he's got a shop, and all types of people are coming to him. So even if, you know, I'm immune to this. You know, when the nafs will just strike. Whether you have a shop or a profession, whatever, to say that no, people whom Allah are blessed, and they take all those precautions. An elderly doctor, a specialist, should be over 90 now. So when he heard about this, so he says, no, I think I need to exercise even more precaution. So he says, when I should do an internal examination, then I place a towel over the chest. And I don't go direct. And I ask one of the nurses to be there. So that I'm not secluded, and I do just what I need to do, and without me getting tempted. See, now he's old, but he understands that at that age also he needs to exercise precaution. So to say, no, I'm beyond that, it's also the trick of shaitan. Sometimes it's small little things. A few days later, a few days ago, we heard about Sufyan Thawri, rahmatullahi, and the wrong thought that he entertained. He saw someone crying, and perhaps he thought the person is just showing off. It's just an act, right? And he says, because of me entertaining the wrong, only the thought just passes the mind, Allah will be answerable for that. But one is that you begin to entertain the thought that for 6 months then I was deprived of tahajjud. You know, what happens? Then one look, one glance, and then it has an aftermath. And we think, no, it's all right, nothing. Our problem in this day is that we only attach importance to a financial and a material loss. Financial loss, material loss, or a loss of our integrity and ego. If our ego or our integrity has been affected, then that's a big thing. But if the deen is being affected, then we don't consider it as a serious thing. So this misuse of the eye. It is such a thing that, you know, you have to nib it in the bud. Whether you like it or not, you have to nib it in the bud. Otherwise, it just progresses. The more time, Sabrahmada says, when he qualified, then his father wanted him to teach for some years. So that he gets a good command over the kitabs, darsi kitabs. Because the darsi kitabs is the base of all your education. Got that right, then there's no limit to your progress because you got the base right. So some 14 some odd years he taught there in Kanpur. See the importance of teaching it. One is learning it and then to teach. Because you learn the contents, but now have you digested it properly? Because when you want to give it off, then you want to learn it at a different level. Right? Because now you have to learn it to teach the person. So you have to grasp it very well, digest it, and then be able to pass it on. So for that you need to have it done very well. So I remained there in Kanpur for some 14 odd years. And people took a liking for Maulana. I was honest and not to hurt anybody. well, that were aggressive or impolite in his ways, say the truth, but say it well. I don't have to be aggressive to say the right. Walau kana ulil haq. Walau kana murran means in the rare situation where it has to be bitter, then do it. But don't make it bitter. You can present it in a good way. Why make it seem to be bitter? Yes, this is a very rare case where you have to say it as it were, that you're going to say it. But otherwise, don't make the haq sound bitter. Right? So that requires that we don't, we aren't impulsive in our speech. Think, all right, how must I present it? I'm talking to this person, he's young, he's old, he's middle age, but how should I present it? So that requires a little bit of understanding, thinking, understanding. And I can present it. The Musabah had to say that there was some discussion going on as to who's on the right, you see. So this person is quite refined. But see, right? You know, what you are saying is not exactly true. Right? It's not exactly true. He could have said the dirty lie. And this is not exactly right. But now, which is a better way to present it? In this way or that way? So he says that, you know, although I was wrong, and he presented it to me, but in the way that he presented it to me, for the rest of my life, I had a respect for that person. That he pointed out, all right, I was wrong, but with some etiquette, some nobility, some respect, he presented it. So one is now to go to the other extreme, go in circles, right? That's not right. One is to be rude and aggressive, deliberately, that's also not right. One is to say the truth, but in a way that the person is not hurt. You said what you need to say, but in a polite manner. So Murad is very particular about these things. Many a times it would be that there's a complaint of an alim. This alim said this or he did this. So now Murad has to control the situation and he has to understand what's going on. So Murad would write, I don't think what you said is the truth. But if it is the truth, then ask him to just endorse this. The statement here that you made against him, ask him to initial it, ask him to endorse it. Then after that, the correspondence closed. See. If you want, so Mawaz says that, see, in so doing what happens, if it's not true, then the thing will just fizzle away, will disappear. If it's true that Mawaz mentioned that, he'll be more careful of what he's saying. Because you find it difficult to endorse that. Right? But in the grand plan, what happens is that you respected that alim, you went rude, and you didn't lose your nobility. One is just to go and smash him down straight. Now this is a little bit of a long cut, but you saved the deen, and you saved his integrity as well. Now, the idea is to save the deen, but the person that is going to bring the deen to you is an alim. Now you smashed him completely down then. Who's going to bring deen after that? Sometime in an area, it's just one alim. And you smashed his integrity. Now, he is now the person in that entire area that's guiding people. And you smashed him down. So what's going to be left now? Is there anybody left? They'll be guessing around, going in circles. So to correct him also, but how to do it. So, once we are here in Kanpur, And people took a liking. Bayans, problems, whatever. They refer to us. So it reached such a point that even if it was a legal matter, then I would be called. Right? It's a dispute, and they can't bring a closure. I was young at the time, but the respect grew to that proportion that they would ask me to come and give a ruling. So once I was called, before they could start that case could commence, you know. So they asked me, the judge asked me, that are you an alim? Are you a senior alim? Well, I said, no, that's against our tradition to say I'm a senior alim. Very seldom you find that someone answering the phone, yes, I am Mawlana Ismail. Sam Ismail speaking, right? So it's against our tradition, traditional our elders. But now, the people of the West, they don't understand this type of language. They don't understand it. So if I say I'm Mawlana so and so, it's against our tradition. If I say that yes, I am not a Mawlana, then why are you coming at them? No, they take it verbatim. They don't understand the usage, how they use it, right? They don't know it. So now here's the thing now on the spot. People consider me. What? People consider me to be an alim. Now you see that how careful he is. He says that the senior advocates that were there at that time for that case, the porn case, they were very anxious to see how Mawlana would reply, because they know what's the Indian culture and they know what's the Western culture, and how Mawlana is like jammed up. If it's jammed, how is he going to answer that?